Thanks for joining us for this edition of Forward Church Online. Today's podcast was recently recorded at one of our live worship experiences. We hope you enjoy today's message. Now prepare your heart to hear a word from God today.
Excited that you guys are here tonight. She wanted to do something a little different tonight rather than just speaking. So I'm really excited about what she is going to share tonight. So we're going to kind of give you our living room or our kitchen set this evening, which is really where what she's going to speak on tonight originated from. We were actually watching a video that you're going to see in just a few moments. Thanks, Joshua. That you're going to see at the conclusion of what she's going to share. And she's going to be talking about unexplainable grace. We were laughing about it because she was like, "So you're asking me, God's asking me to explain something that I'm titling unexplainable." Like, so good luck getting this off the ground, right? But we were watching it, and we start thinking, without grace, I mean, it is the core of why you're here. It is the core of, it should be the core as a Christian of everything that we do. And we were saying that without grace, life just doesn't make sense. I don't know about you, but I know it's going to be a shock to you, but I've not always been perfect. And this beautiful angel, she's not always been perfect. And we've not always had the perfect marriage. I joke about it all the time, what you see in the pictures you see on Facebook. That's the part we like for you to see. But there are some other not for public consumption moments in our home and not for public consumption conversations that we have. But without grace, it wouldn't make any sense. Okay, it would just be just like everybody else. And without grace, my life, without grace, salvation doesn't make any sense. And without grace, church doesn't make any sense. I mean, just think about it. If it wasn't for his grace, it wouldn't make sense. So I really don't know why I'm here, but we're gonna do this thing together. So tag, you're it.
Good evening. I feel really strange sitting. Like, I thought this was going to be a good idea, but I feel weird, like I should be standing. But I'm going to try to sit, and if I have to get up, I will. Bradley is here for support, because I don't know who had this idea of I was supposed to speak tonight, but
Jesus.
Somebody thought it was a great idea. And y'all don't tell Pastor Dennis, but I said, if your daddy asked me to speak again, I'm going to say no. But I'm not going to say no to him. I'm going to tell you no, and you're going to go tell him. So y'all don't tell him I said no, but no, I really don't. I really am excited about speaking. I get a little nervous because communication is so important to me, and I know how I feel when I communicate with people. Like, I just want you to tell me straight up how it is, but I don't want there to be any gray area. And so I think that's why I get nervous, is that I just want to communicate the right way, and I want to tell you the truth, God's truth, not my truth and not my opinion, even though that will probably filter in somewhere. But grace is what I'm going to be talking about tonight. And I had kind of told Bradley, like, it's probably going to be the shortest sermon ever. So, and I don't really think of it as a sermon. I think of it as like our women's Bible study. So this is kind of how we do our Bible study. And you guys are joining in even if you didn't want to. And I tried to talk Bradley into doing 4 worship songs so it would be a little bit shorter. He said no. But we do have a 7-minute video at the end, and I know that's really going to speak to you because it spoke to me, and that is the reason we have the message. But I know you'll be excited that about 8 o'clock, we have about 20 minutes, you will probably be out of here. And I'm good with that. If everybody good with that? If you have any questions later about the message or what I'm delivering tonight, ask him, okay? So I know as a teacher that your attention spans are like 5 to 10 minutes max, so I'm good, and I just want to keep you in your area of whatever. I want to keep your attention. So really, the video that you're going to see at the end, it was not anything surprising. But you know how you hear something for the 7 millionth time and you're like, aha, Like, I finally got it. And I feel like we both were kind of like that. Like, why? It's so simple, yet we make it so complicated.
Why you gotta go and make things so complicated? Oh, I'm sorry.
You can't do that the whole time. Like, you can't bust out with a song every time I'm trying.
But this is what happens at the dining room table. Like, this is literally where we were this afternoon earlier and yesterday. We were sitting at the table, really going through this stuff. So I'm sorry.
That's okay. You really can sing if you want to. It'll just take that time right on down. And I know the clock is right there. In case you're wondering, I'm looking. I know how much time I got. So I am going to talk about misconceptions of grace. Because I think that sometimes we have a view of grace in our mind, and we really can mess it up so bad. I'm not going to tell you what I say about it. I'm going to tell you what the Word says about it. So first I want to give you the definition of grace. Grace is the free and unmerited favor of God. And so when I read that, I thought, okay, that seems pretty simple, but what does that even mean? So I broke it down like this. It doesn't cost me anything. It is a free gift. Unmerited means I can't do anything to earn it. There's nothing I can do for God to give me his grace. I can't work for it in any way. And we were kind of going back and forth about this because, like I said, I want to make sure that when I tell you the truth, that I don't mislead you, because I know that I don't want anybody to mislead me. But I said to Bradley, like, without grace, there's no need for anything else, right? And so we kind of went back and forth about, you know, that could really be controversial, you know. And some things to some people will always be controversial. There are some things you're going to say. Somebody's always going to have something to say about it.
But it's usually the church people. It's usually the religious people that bring the controversy.
True. So I thought, I was researching and I read, grace is arguably one of the most important concepts in the Bible. Without grace, there's no need for salvation or forgiveness. So if we don't have grace, then really, what's the point? Is what, you know, kind of went through my mind. So I want to share a scripture with you real quick. If I can. This is actually what my bedroom side table looks like. It's got like 18 books. Well, it did until Bradley rearranged the furniture the other day. And
some things are not for public consumption.
He rearranged the furniture, so now my books are all 10 feet away from me. And I really like to stack 10 of them. That doesn't mean I'm going to read them. It just means that it's a good idea to read them at some point. So I kind of stack them up and, you know, think, I'll get back to those.
It just means you're going to have to spend some extra effort in learning God's Word.
Yeah, you're right.
You're welcome.
And luckily it's on my phone, so if I don't want to walk to get my book, my phone is right there. So I'm going to read Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 through 9. And I was telling Sabrina, I'm getting a little bit older, I feel like. The words of my Bible are small, so forgive me as I zone in. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. Raise your hand if you've ever heard that verse. Probably everybody, right? So again, I'm thinking, okay, so I'm trying to explain the unexplainable grace. So what does that mean? And so that's how kind of we got into the conversation about, well, it's got to be one of the most important concepts in the Bible. If, you know, I can't earn it, everything else kind of filters through grace. And so as I was studying, I found some information from Charles Spurgeon. And in his book, it's entitled All of Grace. It says, grace is the first and last moving cause of salvation. We are saved through faith, but salvation is by grace. And then he goes on to say, grace is the powerful engine, and faith is the chain that attaches the carriage of the soul to the great motive power. So it's, they both are intertwined, but above all, to me, the way I read that was, grace is first. I mean, that's kind of the overpowering idea, is that we're saved through faith by grace, and we can't do anything to earn that. And so I thought that was really cool that I proved Bradley wrong. because he tried to say I was wrong, but I felt like I was right. So I feel like we go to two extremes with grace, and this is kind of where it gets a little, I guess, controversial, you would say. One extreme of grace is the worldly view. I go to school, I do well, I make A's. If I have good behavior, I might get a treat on Friday. You know, if I work hard at my job, I might get a bonus.
Performance grace.
Performance grace. If I, you know, run a triathlon, which I will never do, if I were to do that, you know, I might get a prize at the end. And so that's one extreme that I think we feel like we have to do something in order to, what can I do for you to show you that I deserve this grace? Well, we already know by the definition that I shared that you can't, there's nothing you can do to deserve it. It is a free gift. It is freely given to you from God. All you have to do is receive it. So that's one. The other is that free ticket to sin. I think that's the other extreme. Like, oh, God loves me. God will forgive me. So even though I know it's wrong, I can do it anyway. Because in the end, God is going to forgive me. So I think we go way on one end of the spectrum, and we think it's all about I got to do in order to get to receive that grace. And then the other is
I get to do.
Yeah, I get to do whatever I want, because in the end, God is, he's going to forgive me and accept me. So I think that we have to be really careful that we don't use grace as, you know, that free ticket to sin, so to speak. And you know, people are watching us, and they're watching how we handle things and how we do things. And so we have to be very, very, very careful as to how we communicate that grace message. Because again, it is very controversial. If you search the internet, there are tons of messages out there about grace. And, you know, people have a right to their own opinion, but I want to know what the word says. That's what I'm concerned with.
Let's put a little bit back on them real quick. And I know we did okay the interruptions prior to, because she's says I'm notorious for just jumping in. But the reason we want to do this, let's push it back on you guys as we have for ourselves, because she said people are always watching to see our walk of grace and how we handle things. It's important that people, because they're watching, they know you go to Forward, they know that you're a Christian, they know you've got the bumper sticker, you got the lime green t-shirt, you got all that stuff. So they're watching to see how you're handling situations in the world. They want to see, and you are the greatest message just through your lifestyle. You are the greatest message of hope. You are the greatest message of God's word, and you are the greatest transparent message of God's grace. Like, it's our job to make sure we're clear to the world. We're clear on ourselves of how grace operates and functions in our lives, but it's even more of a responsibility once we receive, because the Bible says, to whom much is given, much is required, much is expected. We're accountable for the grace that we have. It's a gift. It's just like if she gives me a gift at Christmas time, I'm accountable to what I do with that. How many guys know when we spend the time to get our spouse or our boo, our bae, our significant other, whatever you call that person, they have a responsibility not to just put that on the shelf, right? You know what I'm saying? Because like I watch to see where it goes from the Christmas tree to the am I talking? Yes, I am. And to the it was your idea. And to the dresser, like she's accountable. So what I'm trying to say is, amongst all that little rabbit trail, God is watching us to see what we're doing with the grace that we've been given. Okay, and it's our responsibility to make sure that we don't become the keepers of God's grace. He didn't give us the responsibility to be the keepers of the grace and go, it's up to me to decide who gets the grace. Because it wasn't up to anybody when we got grace and when you got grace. It was up to God and for me just to say yes. Okay? So did that make sense? I'm just trying to push some responsibility back, because it's one thing just to hear the word, but it's another to go, how do I apply that? You're responsible to those around you that they see a clear picture of God's grace.
So I'm going to share a couple more scriptures because I wanted to make sure that that free ticket to sin kind of sunk in deep, because we talked about that too, and I was thinking, you know how you do something that you shouldn't do or have a conversation you probably shouldn't have, and then you can't sleep for two nights because you know you shouldn't have that conversation. And so I ask, I'm like, so I know that it was wrong to have that conversation, but I had it anyway. And, you know, what does that mean for me? Because I do repent, and I am sorry. And, you know, fleshly moments come up. So we've talked about that. And so I want to make sure that you understand what the Word says about sinning and making sure it's always a process. And I think we have to remember that. We get to a place as Christians where we feel like everybody should be where we are. And so what we do is instead of focusing on us and making sure that we know what the Word says about an issue, we want to make sure you know what the Word says about an issue. You know what I'm saying? So it's almost like we don't ever self-reflect, but we spend a lot of time judging what everybody else is doing, kind of leaving us a little bit empty. Because I know that you know, if I know I am empty and I'm struggling in an area, I would rather deal with your issues than deal with my own issues. You know what I mean? So I hope that through this you'll kind of get that message, the real grace message, the grace message that's in the Bible, that really grace is extended to us freely from God. Bradley cannot take my grace away that God gave me. He may disagree with something I do. He might not like something I do. He may judge everything I do. But that is a non-issue, and I want to make sure that you understand that. So Jude 4, in talking about ticket to sin, I think I just went on a rabbit trail there, but I think it was a good rabbit trail, so I'm going to come back. Jude 4, this is what the Bible says about ticket to sin. Says, certain individuals whose condemnation was written about long ago have secretly slipped in among you. They are ungodly people who pervert the grace of our God into a license for immorality and deny Jesus Christ, our only sovereign and Lord. So basically that tells us there are going to be people in your midst that are going to use grace, the grace message, as a reason to do whatever they want to do. So again, that if you're focusing on you and self-reflecting, you won't have time to worry about somebody else's issues. And the reason I'm giving you these verses is so that you can apply them to yourself, not somebody else's situation. So the other one I want to share is Titus, and it kind of is along the same lines. It's chapter 2, verse 11. It says, for the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age. So it gives us, it tells you, hey, grace is yours if you receive it. I know it says all people, but you have to receive it. You have to form a relationship with God, receive his grace in order to experience God's grace. But then it kind of teaches you, okay, now what I want you to do is live a self-controlled, upright, and godly life. So it says, first step, receive the grace. Next, this is the process of how you're going to try to be godly, or be godly, I guess you would say.
Responsibility of how you handle the gift.
Once right, you've got it. Yeah. Right. And so I know in some of Bradley's messages, one of the things that I wrote down that he said was, there's nothing that will impact your life more than how you see or view God. I agree. How I view God and his grace determines how I live and how I extend grace.
Because I think it was last week, I said, if you have a distorted view of God, you'll have a distorted life. Because my life is a direct reflection of how I see God. My life is also a direct reflection of how I view God's grace for me and whether I'm willing to extend grace to other people. If I can't give grace to somebody, if I'm very judgmental to them, That's because I actually am being judgmental to myself, or I have, or people have passed judgment on me. Therefore, I have a distorted view of grace. And if I have a distorted view of grace, I'm going to have a distorted view of, did I really receive grace? And I'm not giving it to nobody else. Anybody who lacks the ability to extend grace is somebody who has not completely understands the grace message. Okay? The reason this is so important, and we said this at the table, the reason it's so important is because if we don't get the message of grace down right, if we're on the one end of the spectrum of I've got to earn it, there's something I've got to do, it's about my performance, you're missing it. And then if I look at grace as it's my license to really do whatever I want to, again, I'm missing that. I'm messing up. It's important. And the church, because we were talking about, and we were laughing, we're kidding, it's just another message on grace. And half of you, as soon as we said the word grace, tuned it out. But it's important that we understand, because again, it's our responsibility to present the message of grace to the world. That's what we're called to impact people's lives. And if we're not even giving them the grace message and understanding that there's nothing you can do, the only thing that is required of you is to say yes, then we're not going to be successful at winning people to Christ. I'm sorry.
You're good. You don't have to apologize.
Can you say that again? I'm good.
Two more minutes.
Kidding.
No, I'm kidding.
Go ahead. Oh, she's serious too.
I'm just kidding. I'm going to be at least 3 more minutes. So 3 minutes and some seconds. I think it's so important too. This message is so important to me because I think it really hits home, because Bradley told you that I'm not perfect, and I know that's really hard for some of you to believe. But I am not, and I know some, I've shared my testimony before. It's been forever. What'd you say? I have shared my testimony before, and you know, my childhood was a little rocky. I made some really poor choices as a teenager. I was pregnant at 17, married when I was 18, and got divorced before I was 20. And I mean, life has been, you know, a little crazy, and I haven't done everything the right way. And I just feel like I know that if God can extend grace to me, I try to personalize it. I know if he can extend grace to me, he will extend grace to anybody. And I don't think that's a false teaching of the Bible. I know we have so many people with so many different opinions. Yeah, but so-and-so did. Yeah, but so-and-so wasn't supposed to. Yeah, but so-and-so and so-and-so. And I agree, you should tell the people you love for sure, and especially if you're in a position like Bradley, you should tell people the truth. You should tell people what the Word says. But I think, again, we focus so much on everybody else's issues. I have, especially now with social media, like I have to hide people because I can't take it. I can't take your judgmental post. I'm sorry. That's just, I need that to filter out. You know what I'm saying? Like if you don't have a positive word to say, if you have time to sit around and judge what everybody else is doing, you know.
I think we all should be doing what she's saying. That's actually, if Facebook doesn't have its own filter for negativity, there is an unfollow button. Okay, because we shouldn't allow that. I mean, Facebook's great. You're not going to hear me say, because it's a great tool to reach people and all those type things. But if Facebook can't come up with a filter button, then we can become our own filter. Not just in Facebook, but our friends, as in, okay, I'm sorry.
And I don't say that to be ugly. I think if you really are trying to live a godly life, and you are digging into the Word, and you are seeking after God's face, and you are trying to build and strengthen your relationship, then anything like that that infiltrates your system, I know that kind of sounds funky, but that stuff gets inside of you. When you watch TV, you know, the things that you watch and the things that you allow, that stuff, if you don't know, if you don't have a firm foundation, if you are not strong in the Word, that stuff can really mess with you. And I don't know how else to put that plainly. And so we just have to be careful who we allow into our lives and who we allow to speak into our lives and what we allow into our lives. Does that make sense?
It's like liquid sin. I just was thinking as you were talking, it's like liquid sin. Like you can say, I would never do that, but yet I'll pay money to go watch somebody else do it for me for entertainment. Movies, TV. You're riding down the road and you're listening to stuff. It's called liquid sin. And I'm saying, because it's coming in, and that thought start, and that thing start churning. Things that you would not in a million years say you would never do. I mean, that's part of my story is I said I would never do that. But when you start entertaining stuff, whether it's entertainment through TV, movies, music that you listen to, I mean, half the stuff now is so twisted, perverted, and jacked up. But it plants stuff in it. It's called liquid sin. That it's coming in, it's oozing. Y'all remember the movie Terminator when the one of the movies of Terminator when the cop turned into the liquid or whatever and he went through the. I know that's weird, but that's what I'm picturing. I'm watching. Somebody said, was Terminator bad? I'm not saying that. I'm saying I remember the dude turning into liquid. And he formed in, and that's how I see sin. It's like, I may not do that, but if I'm watching someone else do it, I can see the liquid coming in into the mind. So I don't know. That's just what I saw when you were saying that. We've got to be able to find ways to cut that off. Mm-hmm. And you need a partner. You need somebody to help hold you accountable to that. Okay? Because I know if I'm watching something and she's like, hey, you're not supposed to be, you shouldn't be watching that. Or if I'm listening to something and I'm not even paying attention to the words, like Pandora has no filter if you just put it on a station. And I'll be working out and I've got it. And I'll be like, I tell Jamie all the time, holy cow, dude, there's no filter on this thing. I'm like throwing my headphones off. If I let that stuff in there, you've got to have somebody to hold you accountable to keep it out. Because if not, it'll be liquid. And then liquid turns back to a solid. And that's when you can get in trouble.
Agree. And some of us have to really work hard at that. I don't know about your upbringing. I love my grandmama so much. She is in heaven. But I remember being a kid, and she was always in somebody else's business. And she'd be peeking out the door. Who is over there at Aunt Rosie's house? Who's next door? I'm like, why do you care? But she would stand there for hours if it took that long to find out who was next door. You know what I'm saying? So I have to work extra hard because especially if I see some stuff, it just gets under my skin so bad. You know, you want to comment, then you type up a paragraph and you're like, no, maybe I shouldn't put that out there. So you just have to, you really just have to be careful. And so I say that to say, I don't know why I said that. Next.
We love Mama. We love Mama.
I guess I just, I want to make sure that you understand because when you are pregnant at 17 and your the town I grew up in was small like this one. Everybody knows that you're pregnant. Everybody's got their opinion about it. Everybody wants to know where your parents were when you were, you know, they got questions. And I am in the youth group at the local church. You know what I mean? So it's like I know what it feels like to be judged. And I think that is the hardest thing about walking into a church. And I think that's why, to me, this was touched my heart so bad because God has freely given his grace to me. It doesn't matter what you think about my circumstances. It doesn't matter what you think about me being pregnant when I was 17. None of that stuff matters to me at this point. You know what I mean? And I think it's so important that you are able to share so that people can relate to your story. And I'm saying God extended his grace to me. Everybody had their own opinion. Everybody had already judged me. Everybody had already condemned me. I was done. I was over. No need to go to church anymore. You kind of already messed up, so just go back home. You know what I mean? So I think it's just important that we learn to accept people as they are and share the grace message with them. You don't have to agree with everything they do. You don't have to condone everything they do. You don't have to tell them, you know, your opinion about it. You can share the truth with them. The truth of the word, and you can love them. That's what God calls us to do, is to love our neighbors as ourselves and share the truth with them. And I think that is so important that we forget sometimes. We pick one thing out of the Bible that we want to share. And it's, you know, all important. So share the truth with me. That's fine. Don't condemn me because that's not your place. You know, But share the grace message with me, and when you love me, then I'll be more apt to hear what you have to say about the Jesus you say that loves you and extends all this grace. You know,
if we gave grace like Jesus gave grace, you wouldn't have an empty seat in a church anywhere. And churches are empty. Churches have emptied out because of our distorted communication of God's grace. Because we're too worried about what so-and-so has done, what they're doing. Hey, again, if it wasn't for grace, my life is unexplainable. It doesn't make any sense, just like yours. Because every one of us would not even be capable of walking into a church if it wasn't for grace, if it wasn't God's grace. It's important that we understand the message of grace. And it doesn't come with conditions. And you're going to see that in a few minutes in the video when she releases for that to happen. Because it's almost like, and you'll hear this, it's almost like the cross was almost enough. It almost did the job, but there's a few more things we're going to have to get you to do. And that's the message that the church has taught. Are you following me? Is great, the cross can get you there, but there's still some things you're going to have to do. And if you don't do that, well, then maybe it's just not for you. And a lot of people have walked away from churches because they've misunderstood how grace actually operates, and they fall just like I fall, just like you fall. You make a mistake, you say something bad, you cuss somebody out, you went hunting with stuff, birds flying, all that kind of stuff, and somebody cut you off in traffic, and then you feel like, oh my gosh, and then my pastor or so-and-so from the church, they saw me just do that. Man, I can't come to church. And let me tell you something, you can do that one or two times, but some of y'all are laughing because y'all know it's true, but you can do that one or two times, and it becomes easier and easier and easier just to not show up. And I don't care what you say, you can look at me and be like, oh, that ain't true. It's the truth. That's why the chair probably sitting next to you is empty, because there is somebody who used to once fill that chair who failed, struggled. We didn't do a great job presenting and communicating the message of God's grace, that they didn't feel like that they were worthy enough to come back, whether it's this church or any other church. And that's our responsibility. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Before we watch the video, because I really want you to see it is so good. It's 7 minutes. Please stay with it. I know that's really a long time to watch a video, but it's Israel Houghton and another pastor from
California,
and they were just having an interview, and I don't know if you know who Israel Houghton is, but he was a worship leader, still a worship leader.
Just not on staff at Lakewood. He was at Lakewood Church.
Mm-hmm. Still a worship leader. Has.
We do a lot of his music here.
We do. And Bradley, like, I don't want to say worships. That's a strong word. But he really, really, really loves and respects this man who has recently had some public failures. And when you're in a position like that, just like any, I guess you maybe could call him a celebrity. I don't know. To me, that's kind of weird. But, you know,
God's giving him a big platform.
Just like anybody that is well known across the United States, across the world, anytime you mess up, it's publicized and everybody knows about it. And so it was just really cool to listen to his interview. I'll be honest with you. Sometimes I see stuff. I don't want to portray that I have just got it all together, and I don't ever judge people, and I don't ever say stuff I'm not, because that's not it at all. I see stuff sometimes and I'm like, oh, what in the, you know, I am guilty. And that's why this hits so home for me, that I have to remind myself, you are not in charge of extending grace. I mean, it's nice when somebody does extend grace to you. But it just reminds me that I'm not in charge. And whatever somebody else does, it's not my position or my place to judge them. That's God's place. And I want to be in the position where I can help them get back to where they're going. And if that were to happen to me, because we are all, you know, we all fall short, number one. That's what the Bible tells us. And two, you know, like Bradley said, you think sometimes that things can't happen to you, that situations can't happen to you. And as soon as you say, that will never happen to me, guess what? It's in your face, and there you are, trying to figure out how to get back on your feet. And I just want us to be a church, not for a church, but as a body of Christ, that picks people up when they're down, you know, not continues to kick them and judge them and, you know, treat them like chopped liver. You know, I feel like that is our job, is to guide people and to help people with the help of the Holy Spirit and with the help of the Word get back to their final destination, as they'll talk about in the video. And then one more thing that he said when they started the video, I thought was so cool because I'd never thought about it this way. He said, Jesus plus nothing changes everything. And I thought, that is so cool. There is nothing that we have to add. Jesus. Yes, I will. I'll obey. I'll follow. But Jesus plus nothing changes everything. If we will just accept him into our heart, if we'll just spend time with him, get to know him, and obey his word, then we know that can change our lives. I know that you guys have stories of how Jesus changed your life. Otherwise, you wouldn't be here. So you want to go ahead and start that video?
Heart, yeah. The GPS moment, this God positioning system of my heart,
yeah,
that says, okay, God, I'm after you and whatever it takes to get there. And I'm joining with a bunch of people here who have that same motivation. Then something happens, something significant happens.
Okay, let me give you another verse here, because as this goes on, he talks about his being chosen, and then he gets into the heart of this thing, which is this early church now, and I mean, everybody needs to understand the context. This church in Galatia, they were Jesus people. They had been sacrificing animals, just like all of the Jewish tradition, and then they find Jesus and they leave all of that, and yeah, now they're going back to this old earn my forgiveness by finding a lamb and going back to the all of that. And Paul is saying no. So I'm again from the contemporary English version. Yeah. He says in verse 6, I'm shocked that you have so quickly, I mean, we're only talking a decade or more here, turned from God, who chose you with his gift of undeserved grace. You've believed another message. It's not just that they are soft on grace. It's that if you're not in grace, you don't believe that it's unmerited favor. That's another deal entirely.
Correct. In the Message translation, he actually says, I can't believe your fickleness. How easily you have turned traitor.
Wow.
To him who called you by the grace of Christ.
I love that.
And by embracing a variant message, like you've experienced this grace, and yet you're still,
yeah,
you know, having your ears tickled by a variant old, yeah, wineskin message.
So I've been in ministry for 25 years.
You've
been
doing
this a long time.
Yeah.
So do you marvel, A, that God chose somebody like you, and B, that people still walk away from this grace and or try to make you into something that you're not, or pay for the mistakes that you've made, because you haven't been perfect. It's not like the minute God put you in a ministry, Israel doesn't make any mistakes.
No,
you,
I have been
you
perfect,
need that grace,
actually.
Like,
I've never made a mistake.
Never?
No,
well, this is
not one.
It's documented. Are we rolling on this?
No, I've made colossal mistakes and some that have been publicized.
Yeah.
You know, some even recently that have been publicized. And I do find it amazing that people always want to exact their pound of flesh. Like the cross is the ultimate justice. The cross is the ultimate law spilling over into grace. And yet the way Paul was talking to these people is the same way we deal with people in 2016 sometimes. Is, yeah, the cross almost did it. The cross got you close, got you really close to forgiveness.
Right.
However, there's a few things we're going to need from you.
Yeah.
And I'm blown away by that, because it ultimately makes the cross look cheap. The fact that I say, okay, God, I thank you for doing all that for me, but I'm sure I've got to add something to this equation. And Jesus says, yeah, just say yes. That's your addition to the equation.
It's shocking how uncomfortable that makes not secular people, but like religious people.
Of course. Yeah. It's secular people are not the persecutors, by the way, of the grace message.
Right.
They are not the ones.
And never have been.
No. And they're not the ones kicking against the idea of, you mean somebody can fall flat on their face, and Jesus, instead of kicking them while they're down and reminding them of how they fell and why they fell and you better never fall again or I'm going to kick you again, instead Jesus is the one reaching down going, are you all right? Okay, let me lift you up. Okay, let's dust you off. Okay, let's keep going. I use the analogy this way. I'm in L.A., and in L.A., especially when I was just learning how to get around here a number of years ago, I had to rely on my GPS system. Had to. Because in L.A., if you take a wrong turn,
right. Yeah.
You're going to pay for
that. That's a half an hour.
It easily.
Yeah.
It could easily, especially if you get the wrong freeway exit or something like that. It's going to be a while before you can get back. I got to thinking about how most people think, and here's God saying, you know, Psalm 139, before I formed you, I knew you. I've walked all your days out. Yeah. I know exactly how it ends. And just follow me. That's it, right? Imagine God saying, and I think this is how some of us with this mixed thinking of grace, but we're going to still have to do something, think, and that is, I've made a wrong turn. You know, I publicly told people a number of months ago, hey, I made a wrong turn in my life a number of years ago, and it had major consequences in my life, in my family, in my marriage, and I'm on my way back, and here we go. It's amazing how most people want to go, he took a wrong turn, well then shut it off. He's never going to reach his destination. He must, by making that wrong turn, he disqualified whatever his destination is. But that's contrary to what God said. God said, I walked all your days out. I know the end from the beginning. I sit high, I look low. I have the view that you don't have. All you see is yourself in a wrong turn, a wrong neighborhood, something you don't recognize, but here's God. Now people will say, crucify him, stone him, cut him off, disqualify him, put a period next to his name, he's done. And God takes that same period and adds a little comma under it and turns it into a semicolon.
Nice, I like it.
And said, I've got more to write about you.
I love
and
that.
The voice of God / Morgan Freeman comes on and says, recalculating.
Yeah.
So in other words, there is always a plan in motion. And even in our failings and even in our, I have a problem with people saying he or she fell from grace.
That's this verse. And that's why I wanted to launch from it, because they really don't understand what that phrase means.
Right.
It doesn't mean that you made a mistake.
Right.
It means that you went away from the fall from grace, is going away from this free gift.
Correct. And yet, in any falling I ever did, I've come to understand that I fell to grace, not
into
from it.
Yeah. Into it.
I fell to grace, not from it.
I love the way you say that. I mean, it's just poetic, but it's born out of experience, right?
For sure. The message of grace is a scandalous one. I love the song Hillsong wrote of the scandal of grace. The idea is, scandal of grace, you died in my place so I wouldn't have to. It's the judge getting ready to drop the gavel and somebody stopping him and going, hey, there's a guy out here who says he's going to do the time
for
this guy. We know this guy's guilty. Like, caught red-handed, it's on video, he's guilty. But there's this stranger out here that says, hey, let me do his time.
Good.
Let me pay this penalty for him. That's scandalous. Well, you can't do that.
Yeah.
You know, people get mad if you put coins in somebody's meter here.
Right.
You can't do that for them. We gotta make them pay.
Right.
And here's Jesus goes, no, I already paid it. Like, it's done. Stop trying. This is double jeopardy now. You can't convict this man on something that I've acquitted him of.
Love it. I love that. Okay, let me get to...
Wasn't that awesome? So I hope I communicated effectively, and I know that Bradley's going to want to say something, but if you get nothing else out of this, I watched this video like 18 times, because it really just, every time I watched it, it said something new to me, and you may have seen it on Bradley's feed and watched it yourself, but I think the thing that really stood out to me the most was that we are going to mess up. We can mess up. We will. We are going to. There's no doubt about it. And when you do, I don't want you to think that it is over for you, because sometimes that's where things get miscommunicated sometimes. And I don't think on purpose. I think the heart behind it is right and the motive is right. I think people really do want you to do good. But I think that you need to understand that, one, if you've been called by God and you know that, He doesn't take away your calling. He doesn't come back and say, never mind, you don't know how to handle this, let me take it back. So please just understand that if you mess up, God is still there to pick you up and to guide you to your final destination. And like it was said in the video, He already knows everything that we're already going to do. That's all. He already knows that. So don't let somebody else tell you. And I think that's the hardest for us as society. And that's why I brought up the social media thing. So easy to get caught up in that and worry about what people think. I had that conversation right before church that I do. I care about what people think, and I wish I did not. But in the end, that doesn't even matter. You say yes, you obey God, you will mess up and just say, just repent and know that you can find your way back and that God will put people in your life to help you find your way back. And if there's somebody in your life, I don't want to choose your friends for you, but if there's somebody in your life that, one, cannot build you up in the Lord and encourage you if you have messed up, then maybe you need to limit your time with those people. And sometimes that's tough. That's hard, especially when you love somebody and you have really formed a bond with somebody. But if they're not good for you, and I say that in love, if they're not good for you and they're not encouraging and building you up in the Word and speaking truth to you in love, then maybe you need to pray about that relationship and if it needs to continue, because ultimately that's what we should be doing, and guiding people back to the cross.
The reason that this message is so real to us is because our marriage without the grace wouldn't make sense. If I opened up and told you everything, you would be like, there's no way. Without grace, she and I wouldn't be together. Matter of fact, we named our last daughter, her middle name is Grace, Ansley Grace. And that was done by design. Yes, it was the middle name of our pastor's daughter, Victoria Grace, back in Georgia. But it was a forever reminder of God's grace. So that whenever I'm having a bad day, whatever things aren't going right around the house like I think they need to, there's grace in the house. Ansley Grace, but there's grace in the house. And it works. It doesn't, like she just said, it doesn't matter how bad you screw up. Bradley has royally, or as Israel said, colossally. I've made some colossal bad mistakes. That even by the church's standard, would say, we didn't need to be together, or you're approved to walk away. So in our marriage, yes, you see the Pinterest version of our marriage, but you didn't see, you know, 6, 7, 8 years ago when I made some very, very poor choices. She, when I see her, it's God's grace. Oh, that sounds so sweet. No, it shows me God's grace on display. Okay, I'm not going to go into any dark details, and I wasn't even planning on saying anything. I'm just telling you, just let your minds wander. Just think the worst, and that was us. Every reason why we could have gotten a divorce, but it was God's grace. And so we wanted to share this message tonight because, really, she did. I don't know what my role was, but it's simply to say, no matter how bad you mess up, it doesn't matter. You can go the worst of the worst of the worst. I tell people all the time, Nothing is beyond reconciliation. Ever. Ever. Even what the Bible describes and says, it's okay to check out. It's still not beyond repair. Because my relationship with God is not beyond repair. Okay? So tonight, there may be, and I'm going to get Amy to pray and then we're going home. You may be here and say, you know what? I have taken one of those wrong turns. I'm not going to ask you to come forward. I just want you to stand. If you say, you know what? I have taken one of those wrong turns. It could have been last month, last week, last night. I've taken a wrong turn. And you felt the condemnation. How in the world? But he described, that's why I love that video. He described it. Just because you make a wrong turn on the road doesn't mean you give up and you drive back home and you don't go to your destination. We flew all the way out to Houston. And if it wasn't for my GPS, I missed roads that we needed to be on to get to the venue to see him, to see Israel. When I messed up and I felt bad, and I remember when I was like, y'all, I'm so sorry, because I had the responsibility of getting us there safe and all those things. I didn't say, let's just go back to the hotel room. We'll just forget the conference. I made a wrong turn. Oh, well. It's the same way in life. Just because you make a wrong turn, just because you make a bad decision, you hear his voice saying, recalculating. You're still going to get to the destination. You may be in a neighborhood that doesn't look right. It's unfamiliar to you. You may have made a decision. You may be now around people that's unfamiliar to you, or you've made a decision to step away from other people or a situation, and now you're in an area that looks unfamiliar. You got to get back to the GPS and go, God's positioning system. How do I get to my destination? So if you're here tonight, she's going to pray for you. And you say, you know what? I've made wrong turns. There's no condemnation here, because I'm telling you, that's why I came up to say, I've made wrong turns. I've made bad choices. But I like to believe that what you're seeing is God's grace in operation. What you see in us, that's real. Do we fight? Do we have arguments? Absolutely. Not for public consumption. You will never know. But we make it right before we come in here, because it's God's grace. So are you here tonight? Anybody, you know what? I've made some wrong turns, and I need to know that I can get back to my destination. Anybody in the house? You want to stand? The biggest thing, don't give up. You cannot give up. And you've got to surround yourself with people whose GPS system is not broke. Are you hearing me? You've got to surround yourself with a GPS system that is accurate. My phone is more accurate than the old GPS that I used to have. You got to constantly remember the old ones, the Garmin or whatever. You, after a while, they go old. Streets have changed. You got to go in and download the software to make that thing operate. Some of you haven't even went back to the Word to download the most recent version of how do I get back on track. That's your GPS. That's your God positioning system. Okay.
Father God, we just come before you tonight and we thank you.
Thanks for tuning in to this edition of Forward Church Online. At Forward, we believe that God speaks to each one of us individually, directing our lives and giving us focus. It is our desire that you would experience Christ and pursue His purpose for your life. One of the easiest ways to draw close to God is by connecting with the local church. Get started today by visiting myforwardchurch.org to find out all the ways that you can give, serve, and grow.